Blog Talk Radio.
Church night. This show is actually designed for folks that don't really have a church on Wednesday, or they don't go to church and they like to hear the Word of God, like to hear the Word of God preached. And I actually came up with this idea, maybe at the beginning of this week. I was like, hey, we don't do Thursdays anymore, so why don't we just do a Wednesday night church night? And me and Jacob, we agreed on that, and here we go. But welcome, everybody, to the Healing Light Show. It's Reverend Stan and Jacob. How's it going, Jacob?
It's going great, going great.
Yeah, we're we was all talking about grace today. The title today for the today's show, and the church headline is Grace. We're going to be talking about grace this night, and grace is a big subject. There's a lot of grace teachers. There's many different ideas on grace. Many people believe different things about grace. But one thing we all do agree is that Christ gave us grace. And a lot of people don't understand what to do with the grace or what grace is about, or some people is too much on grace, which, I mean, I don't think you can get too much of grace, but I do think that you can go a little wild with it at times. And some people just use grace to do whatever they want to, which I think in one case that ain't right. I mean, we still got to stay checked. But, that's one of the subjects we're going to talk about today. But first, we've got some things we're going to talk about. We're going to talk about what's coming on the show this Saturday. Jacob, tell us about the guy that's coming on the show this Saturday.
All right, man, I'd love to. His name is Dr. Brian Adams. Back in 2012, in October 2012, one of my friends, Tony Kemp, who is actually on the board of directors of It's Supernatural and a friend of Sid Roth's, had a meeting in Brentwood, Tennessee, and I happened to meet Dr. Brian Adams up there. Well, he has a church in Ohio, and among other things, I'm not going to give everything away because then we won't have a show Saturday, right? But I'll just go ahead and say that he's worked with T.L. Osborne, and if anybody out there knows anything about T.L. Osborne, you know that T.L. Osborne was no joke. He was an awesome man of God, and Dr. Brian just happened to work with him, and Brian and I got to know each other a little bit. We're still getting to know each other. He's a friend of my Facebook page. I'm not gonna plug your stuff right now. I just want you to know that Brian will be on the show at 10 a.m. Eastern time, and down here in Louisiana, I'm Central, so that'd be 9 Central time. Y'all tune in, and if you got anything to ask Brian, feel free to call. But that's what's going on Saturday.
And I would invite y'all to come on the Healing Light show page on Facebook. If anybody has actually had a healing from the show or had a spiritual transformation from the show, please post it on there. Give a testimony. It really encourages more people to believe in Christ, and plus it encourages more people to come to listen to our show. So it helps both ways. And we really, really put some great things on the Healing Light show page on Facebook. So just like the page, and you'll see interesting things just pop up on your page. I put a lot of Christian things on there. I talk about the newest shows. I talk about some of the things that we've experienced during the show. We talk about things that happened to us during the week. I do a lot of healing work. I do a lot of prophecy work. I do a lot of healing work. I do things like that on the side. In my everyday life, I get signs all the time from the Lord. And when I get a sign, I normally put it on there, something that I feel free to share. There's some personal things that the Lord shares with me that I keep to myself, and there's some things I'll share with other people. So if the Lord gives me a sign or shows me a vision, I'll put it on the page and share it with you. And I've had, in the last couple of weeks, I've had quite a few. And it's been very, very busy, I'll say, in the heavenly realms or in the heaven realm or what they call heaven. It's been very busy up there. He's really talking to his children. He's getting us all ready. He's giving us scrolls. I'm just going to put that was one vision I have for me and some other people that I know, that we was handed scrolls. And scrolls, I have no idea what it was about, but he is handing out our details that we're supposed to be here during the end times, what our roles are supposed to be, what type of job we have, people we're supposed to draw into him. You know, many things like that. And there's a lot of things going on right now in the heavenly realms that, Christ is really working with his children. And you might be involved in it too and don't know about it. You know, there's some things that your soul and a part of you is involved in that your subconscious mind don't have no idea about. But there's things that you're doing that's like, I was talking to Raphael, I've had him on the show, and there's another guy that, well, Raphael has did some soul travel too, and he went to a mission trip overseas somewhere, and he was in bed asleep, and then saw him somewhere testifying to somebody and getting somebody saved in a bar. So he wasn't only sleeping in bed, he soul traveled out of his bed, was bringing people in the kingdom out of his body. So, I mean, it's many different things like that's going on. And, you know, Christians are in full force right now. So it ain't no time to sit back and watch Christian TV all day. Time to put on your combat boots and go out there and really start building the kingdom, because our Lord, our Father is coming. And we need to start building the kingdom. It's not no time to sit there and put on your bedroom shoes and watch football. It's time to put on your combat boots and go out there and fight the war for the Lord and bring people home to the kingdom. So that's what's really going on right now. I'm going to go ahead and say the Lord's Prayer. I like to start every service off with the Lord's Prayer. Is this something special? Is something that really connects us to the Lord, because that is one prayer that he wanted all of us to learn. So right now, everybody bow your heads. We're going to say the Lord's Prayer. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us our day, our daily bread. Forgive us our trespasses as we forgive those who trespass against us. Lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever and ever. Amen. And right now, Jacob, you got anything you like to talk about today?
Well, I guess I'm plug my stuff first. I mean, the name of my ministry is Sons of Righteousness. You guys can go to sorministries.net. Check us out. You can friend me on Facebook, Jacob Phillips. You can go to my ministry page. It's facebook.com/Sons of Righteousness Ministries. I will be traveling to Shreveport, which is an hour and a half away from where I live. I live in West Monroe, Louisiana. I am way, way, away from Stan. And it's strange how we hooked up, but that's another story for another day. I will be with Mike and Faye McGee at the Church on the Rock in Shreveport, Louisiana, and I'll be telling my supernatural testimony of my supernatural healing and things that happened in my life and how God has brought me to where I'm at now. And I will also be training and teaching believers to heal the sick over in the West Monroe Convention Center in West Monroe, Louisiana, which is not far from me at all. I'll be doing that, and the guy that heads that up, his name is Robert Goins. You can call him at 318-789-4334 for information. But those are just a few of the dates I got, and I'm really, really excited to be doing this, the Lord's movement, and I agree with what Stan just said. It's not time for us to sit around and feed the flesh. It's time for us to get out and work, because that's basically what Jesus did from the time he got here to the time he left, he worked. So I agree with Stan on that, and we stand in agreement. As two or more touching, that will come to pass in these last days. There's going to be a lot of signs, wonders, and miracles of Joel 2:28. So anyway, that's what's going on in my neck of the woods in West Monroe, Louisiana, and Sons of Righteousness Ministries. Back to Stan.
Amen. Amen. Now, what is your part that you think about grace when we talk about the grace of God? What do you think about when we talk about the grace of God?
Well, I believe when we're in the distance, first of all, we need to touch on the fact that there are many dispensations, have been many dispensations through time, and a dispensation is nothing more than an age, and we're in the age or dispensation of grace. So, Peter talked about the last days And in Acts, he quoted Joel 2:28. So we've been in the last days. The last day started right after Jesus died. There's not a lot of people that teach that, but that is, we are, he was in the last days. They thought they were in the last days, and we're in the last days. I really believe that grace is the power to live righteously. There are ministers out there that talk about, you know, there's no effort to Christianity. Jesus did it all. Well, Jesus paid it all for you to get into heaven. Where you sit is your responsibility. It's according to what you do. Ephesians 2:8 and 9 says that we're saved by grace and not by works. Works can't get you to heaven. Now, there's denominations that teach you that. I'm not going to name them. But grace is awesome because grace empowers us to live sin-free. And it's not a license, but we can live sin-free. There are still Christians out there that choose to live in sin and call themselves Christians, but, you know, there's going to be a rude awakening for those people. But I am very pro-grace. There's a lot of extreme grace out there that's a little bit nuts, but, and, you know, every doctrine that people come up with and preach in the church, few people stay in the middle of the road about stuff. They always get into a ditch. And with the hyper-grace message that's out there right now, there's people that have gone into a ditch. And, you know, Stan's going to agree with this, but basically grace is awesome because grace allows you to live a sin-free life. And there's people that are saying, well, nobody is going to live sin-free. Well, you're not going to live it if you don't want to. But if you want to live sin-free, it is very possible to live sin-free. If Jesus can do it, okay, you can do
it. Anyway. Amen. I'm going to go ahead and read Romans 11:5. It says, it is the same way now. There is a small number left of those whom God has chosen because of his grace. His choice is based on his grace, not on what they have done. For it's God's choice were based on what people will do, then his grace would not be real grace. But then the people of Israel did not find what they were looking for. It's only the small group that God chose who found it. The rest grew deaf to God's call. As the scripture says, God made their minds and hearts dull. To this very day, they cannot see or hear. And David says, may they be caught and trapped in their feast. May they fall. May they be punished. May their eyes be blinded so that they cannot see. Make them blind under their troubles in all times. So, probably a lot to me right there that the Holy Spirit is bubbling up in me. What this is kind of bubbling up in me just by reading this scripture is people has a simple, now Jacob might sound like a Joseph Prince grace teacher, so don't look at me like that. But anyway, there's some Joseph Prince people out there, he's cool, I like a lot of these things. But, you know, in Joseph Prince himself, I quote, he says, I'm not saying it's all right to sin by no means. And a lot of people, when they talk about Joseph Prince, they don't mention to say that he said that. They always want to say what they want him to say. So this is what I'm trying to say here. What's bubbling up in me is that we make life so difficult. We make life so difficult that we've got to do setups to talk to God. We've got to do this. We got to be basically a Pharisee to get to God. We got to say all of our amens and all this. And then Jesus died to open that veil. Because if you remember, when Jesus died, that meant that Jesus died, the veil in the temple split. And scared the crap out of them priests too. They were scared to death when they saw it. It's like, whoom! It's like the veil between heaven and earth was ripped. So what that was indicating to us is through Jesus, he is our door. He's our door to God, right? He's our door to God. So these people that's falling under the trap, they're eating their feast, their mind's blinded, and they're doing all this stuff, but they're not really seeing the real face of God. They're seeing what they want to see. But there's a lot of churches caught right now into works. They're saying that you've got to go and pray for 1,000 people, and you've got to do this, you've got to do that. And you're a good person, and you put on your little Sunday smile, and you're great, right? But inside of them, they've got all these laws that they still think that God hates them, and they've got to work great. Number one thing, they're working under the law, okay? Now, when Jesus died, his grace that we're talking about put the law in our heart. It's no longer on a tablet on a Christian. It's written in our heart. It also says in Romans, that when you're baptized in the water, you are crucified on the cross, you're put in the tomb, you're dead, and you're arisen. Your old man is dead. The old person or the old woman you used to be or the old man you used to be has died and put in the ground, and the new you is reborn as Christ was arisen, okay? Now, let's say, okay, you accepted Christ, you've been baptized, and, you know, you've been baptized, but your mama told you to do it. And you say because, you know, it'll make everybody in the congregation think that you're a Christian now. But you still went with it, though, right? But by heart, you didn't, okay? The problem about that is that God is a heart person. He looks at your heart. He doesn't matter what you look like. He worries about what's inside, okay? Now, if you went through all this process and you really, really didn't want this, you don't receive it. You don't really receive it. And one thing, how I found this out to be true myself, this ain't just something I'm preaching about or something I'm talking about. This is something I've experienced that other people has went through. I got a ministry that I do lawn care. I help elderly people, and plus I help people that has no jobs. So it's a win-win situation with both people. And I ran into a lady that has been going to church for 40 years. She's maybe in her late 60s, been going to Bible class with her Tobe Christians, and they're like in their 80s and all this. And she went through confirmation, all this stuff. But she only did that because her parents and her mom and her family thought it was right, and she did it because she thought it was right. But she didn't do it because her heart wanted to accept Christ. She didn't do it because she wanted to accept Christ. She did it because she thought it looked right, okay? So when she got in her 60s, she realized that she was missing something in her heart, and she was missing the Holy Ghost. She was missing Christ. She's never fully accepted Christ, not fully, okay? So she got a chance to accept Christ. The Holy Ghost took place in her heart. She was a changed person. I saw a smile go on her face. I saw the Holy Spirit hit her. I felt it bouncing off of me, and then going back to her, the Holy Spirit was happy that she was entered into the kingdom. And then after that, she was a whole new person. That's accepting the real acceptance of the Holy Spirit. Not some dried out, you know, I believe in God the Father, I believe in this, Jesus, please. I mean, not that. That's not from the heart. That's saying from the brain and hoping that everybody's thinking that you're looking good. But anytime, that's what a lot of people don't understand. The thing that Joseph Prince and all these is talking about is the real Christian that's really accepting God by heart. There's a big difference between a real Christian accepting God and the person is doing it to look good or because her family or, you know, if I do this, my boss man will really accept me and I might get a raise or my mom and daddy will leave me alone if I do this. It's just talking about you're so hard off that you've been on drugs all your life, you're ready to get to go down a new road, and you want to change. Or your life has been such a mess that you don't know what to do, and you want Christ. Now, I'm not saying everybody's got to be a dope addict. I'm not saying everybody's got to be hard off. I'm just saying you've got to want God, you know, Christ in your heart. You want to be renewed. You've got to want this to get the Holy Spirit, to get to die. You want you to die. You want the old you, not physical you. You want the you that is me, 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 me. I want this. I want that. That's got to die. You've got to die. It's only got to be one, and that's Christ in you. You've got to want that. You've got to want that, that craving for Christ like you would, I'll say, like, you know, when you first meet your beloved, I'll say your girlfriend or your boyfriend, whoever, you know, if you're a boy, when you met your girlfriend, you loved that girl so much that you couldn't stand not to be around, not to be around her. I mean, you had to be with her all the time, like I said, right? You had to be around her all the time. You had to talk to her all the time. You had to be right beside of her all the time. You got to have that type of love for Christ. You got to have him in your mind. You got to build that trust relationship. And I'm not saying you got to carry a big Bible on your back all the time, and you got to shake it up and shake it in the air and all this. I'm just saying you got to know that God is really your Father, and it goes way back to Adam and Eve. When Adam and Eve, before they fell, they had that one-on-one relationship with God. And that's the type of relationship that God wants with you. He made you. He wants to be there with you. He wants to be the Father that the Father you never had before, the Father that cares about every detail. And when you depend on the Father, when you depend on the Father for everything, and then you really see what grace is. You know, way back, did I really deserve a perfect Father like this? I sinned. I cussed. I made fun of him. I told Christians was nothing but idiots. And, you know, I said all this about them, and I said all this about my mom, my friends, or whatever it may be. You know, you could say whatever the sins is. I mean, I have no idea. There's many sins for many people. But do you think you really deserve all the things that God did for you? No, you didn't. There's nothing you could do to get what he gave to you. You really deserve this connection for life. It's what you deserve. But he wanted you to be his beloved. He loved you that much to send his only son down here to pay the price for everything that you did, to take that on. See, it ain't that God don't want to look upon you. A lot of people say, well, sin makes it, where God is saying, oh, I don't want to look at that dirty, nasty thing there. No, it isn't that case. It's not that case. He can't see you because the sin has pushed you so far away. He cannot see hate. He cannot see negativity because light and dark don't mix. Light and dark don't mix. It can't see in the dark. It just erases it. So if you're dark, he lights up and he can't see you. But if you're a light yourself, you match right in with him, if that makes sense. But I'm just saying, he cannot see you. He can't see you when you're completely off the Richter scale because you're so far sinful, and you're so dark and glimsy, his face can't even shine upon you. Jesus came down here to take all that crap off of you, where he could actually see you. So when he sees you, he could do more things with you. The more you grow, you pull yourself towards God, the more Christ is becoming more like you. I mean, you're becoming more like Christ. I'm sorry, I got mixed up. How long did that work? Forgive me, please. But anyway, the more that you start looking more like Christ, the more Christ is being reborn in you. He sees you fully. He sees you as his son, his daughter. He sees you. He can see you finally. He's been looking for you for ever since you've been born. He saw you when you was born, but then you just disappeared, and he's like, where'd he go? You know, so when Christ came down, when you accepted Christ, everything that he did for you remade you where he could see you again. And then when he can see you again, he can have that relationship with you that he planned for you in the beginning that we fell from. So Jesus was the new Adam. as the Bible talks about, as everybody talks about. Jesus was the new Adam to give us a fresh new start. Okay? But you have to die. The old you has to die where God can see you, because as long as you live in sin, he can't see you. You put that bag over your head and over your body, he cannot see you. Jesus is the one that saved you and pulled that bag off, and you're like, here I am. And Father is like, there you are, my son. How, you know, come near to me. Just like the parable that Jesus talks about the son that ran away from him. You know, he took his inheritance. He took his inheritance. He squandered it. He did a lot of bad things, and he went and asked for forgiveness. And then, you know, the father opened the door and was like, you know, come on in. Because when he asked for forgiveness, the Lord has the power to lift that off of you. He has the power to lift that off of you. There before, you had to, you know, do all these sacrifices and go to the priest and all that stuff. But now, the law in your heart, and with the power that Christ has to lift this stuff off of you, he can see you finally. But that's a little bit of the word I'm going to teach today about grace. And it runs into a lot of things. But one thing I want you to know, when you're in Christ, you're living underneath his grace, and you have really died in him. You have really died in him. I ain't talking about you want to look good because you're in front of the church service or in front of your parents or whatever. I'm talking about you really went far headed into wanting to become a new man, and you want to be fully saved. God did that. He saved you. He put his grace on you, and I guarantee you that you feel that. I guarantee you that you feel that. And if you didn't feel it that day, I know a couple of days on down the road, you felt that. If you went up there with your heart closed and not really accepting that, I'm about to guarantee you didn't feel anything, and you probably still living the same life you was living. Because I have heard thousands of stories where people went up to a Billy Graham event, and they just went up there because their friend went up there, and then they ended up back into a life of sin, and they ended up in bad situations. In some cases, they lost their life in the bad situations they was in, but they didn't really give their life to Christ. But the ones that did accept that their life changed, the old them died. They started to renew themselves. God started being reborn in them. And I'm not saying that they carried a Bible and beat people with it, but they did read their Bible. They did communicate with God. And then they started seeing their lives change. And that's what I'm saying. Grace changes you. When you accept God, he gives you the grace. His blood was the grace for you that you did not deserve. You did not deserve him to die for you. He did that because he loves you that much. He gave you that grace not because you earned it, because he loved you. He has agape love for you. He loves you no matter what. And that's the thing that Christ gives you when you want him to give that to you. When your heart's open to him, you have to have an open heart. And one thing that a lot of people don't understand with an open heart is, excuse me, but your heart has to want it too. It's very confusing, but your heart has got to accept it too. If your heart is so cold and been so hurt, sometimes it's hard for your heart to accept things. So your heart has got to be willing to let that go. A lot of people think, well, you know, my heart is controlled by my mind. Whatever I want is what I get, and that's the way it goes. It don't work like it, people. It does not work like it. Your mind and your heart is different, okay? Your heart has to be so wanting Christ that it will open for him, okay? Now, I could be the number one person that could really talk for that because I was raised in a bad childhood. I had bad situations in my life, and it gave me bitterness at times. Okay. I did accept Christ, but my heart didn't fully accept Christ. It did to a point, but not all the way I needed to be. It took me a couple years, for the Lord to work with me where I would fully accept him. It was not a complete done deal. And I remember the day that my heart accepted him. My heart was kindly iffy about it. It was like, well, I've been hurt so many times, you know, we know that the Lord ain't gonna hurt you, but your heart has been hurt so many times by, it could be by a loved one, could be by parents, that it's not sure whether it wants to accept this one or not. So the Lord worked with me till I fully accepted him. And then that's when I fully started changing. I started transformation. See, my heart had to be worked with by Christ. Now, that's a transformation too. Now, if you're willing to go along with him, for him to work with you is one thing. If you're not willing for him to go with you or work with you, that's another thing. But you've got to be willing. You got to be workable. You got to be willing to be worked with. You got to be willing to have your heart open. I mean, there's a lot to accepting God. A lot of people think, well, if I announce this, you know, in front of the church, and, you know, I'm all good. But your heart didn't accept it. You didn't really believe it. But, hey, you know, what the heck, you know? It doesn't work like it. You've got to accept that in your heart for it to really take place. And that's the reason why a lot of people say they're living in grace, walking around here, living in sin, because they never really accepted Christ. And it's not really, you've got to experience it to know what it's all about. The people that said they accepted Christ really didn't accept Christ. They just said it with their mind and with their mouth and not with their heart. If it's not with the heart, it's not a done deal. So that's one of my main messages. What do you think about that, Jacob?
Well, I know that Romans 10:9-10 says that if you confess with your mouth and believe in your heart that God raised Christ from the dead, you'll be saved.
Yep.
Now,
if you don't believe in your heart, you're not saved. Yep.
Well, I just know that what Romans 10:9-10 says, that's the scripture I was led to. I wasn't led to Christ on that. I can't tell that story because that'd be a lie. I accepted Christ when I was sick. So, that doesn't mean I didn't backslide.
Yeah.
Because we've all had our situations. But I do agree that there are people that, you know, that go to these mass crusades and then do what they do and then go to the front and live on a one-day confession. I'm going to just point it out. And I just got done doing a CD at a service at a church that's down the road from me called Confessing the Word of Faith. And I told the people, I said, listen, confessing Christ is not a one-time confession.
Yeah.
You know, you have to be able to confess Christ every day because, you know, it's really a choice. And that really does have to do with grace. And grace allows you to make that choice every single day.
Amen. But there's a big thing that, you know, there's a lot of people in the Christian community, they think that because they think the only thing you got to do is say, hey, Jesus, I accept you, but don't really mean it with your heart. And we all know, you just said, if you confess it with your mouth and you mean it with your heart, it's a done deal, right? It's a done deal. But if you confess it with your mouth and you don't really mean it, it's no done deal. And there's a lot of people who got that misunderstood. They think if they confess it with their mouth and they didn't really confess it with their heart, confessing with the heart means is that you have your heart open for it. Your heart is open for Christ. So he can't come to closed doors. He has to come with open doors. Okay. So when you're confessing with your mouth and you got an open door on your heart, he comes running in and you're welcoming him in. And then he gives you your grace where you can be transformed. You can become that new man. But if you confess with your mouth and you don't really mean it, he's waiting on you. He's waiting on you to come in. Now, if you're confessing and you're wanting him to come in, but your heart is kind of iffy because it's been hurt, okay? It's kind of iffy because it's been hurt. He will work with you where that heart will open and you can have a full transformation. And when you have that full transformation, you'll be that new man and woman. But the thing of it is, it's all got to be at the heart and with you confessing, like he said. But grace is amazing. When you finally let him in and he brings his grace in you, you transform. You feel like a new person, man. I mean, you feel renewed. You feel like a new person. And and one of the things that a lot of grace movement and all that things, you know, a lot of these people is actually confessing with their mouth, and that's about it. And then they think that gives them a ticket to do whatever they want to. That's not the case. That's definitely not the case. Because if Christ has not came in and set up shop inside your heart, there's nothing really to clean your sins off of just by empty words that you spoke. And empty words without you know, the Holy Spirit, it's really not nothing there. You've got to be born of the Holy Spirit when Christ comes within you. So only Christ being accepted in your heart and Him setting up shop gives you the grace to transform you. Now, when you receive this grace, I know we got 4 minutes left, but when we receive this grace, He starts rebuilding you. He starts giving you cravings for the Word. He starts changing your lifestyle, the grace to start changing your lifestyle to where the old you, the things the old you used to do, the new you don't want to do that. You want to stay away from drugs. You want to stay away from alcohol. You want to stay away from those places you used to hang out. You want to change. You have a willingness to change. But then the Word, the Bible, you know, helps transform your mind, where your mind will be with where your heart is. So your mind and heart is two different areas. So they both got, I mean, the heart is transformed. When you finally allow Jesus in your heart, your mind has to be transformed. So that's where the Word comes in to help you transform that. Spirit will constantly transform everything. He knows what He's doing. He's done this for thousands of years. So He'll transform you. And if you do, your mind gets you into a bind where you get ready to fall, and you get ready to fall into sin, not because you want to, because it's a habit, okay? Now, the Lord has since the Lord is your full Father now, and He's entered into your heart, He will make things fall where you'll know that you made a mistake. You'll run into a situation that you'll have to rethink, and with really born in the Spirit, you finally really accept Him in your heart, you will learn from that. But a man without the Lord in his heart, what will happen is he won't learn from that, and he'll keep doing that. You won't have problems with sinning because you don't care. But the Holy Spirit will let you know that you did something bad and you need to check up on it. That's a difference between a man that has the Lord in him and the person that don't, because there's no remnants of what you did. But the Holy Spirit will make sure you know what you did is wrong, because my hand goes all the way up for when I mess up, the Holy Spirit will slam me a couple times. You did wrong. You need to make this right. You got to ask for repentance. Talk to the Father about this. You know, I know it's wrong, and He makes sure I know that. But He does love you that much to send His Son. But the thing we got to do, we got to allow Him in. We got to allow Him into our hearts where we can receive His grace. And His grace is amazing. Grace is something that you cannot earn. It has to be given by Him. And you've got to be willing to receive it to get that transformation with grace. But grace is an amazing gift, a gift that only God can give. Nobody can give. Only God can give the amazing grace that Christ did, the amazing price that Christ did for us on the cross to give us that grace, to save us, to transform us. And I really, 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 really ask every one of y'all, if y'all ain't accept the Christ, pick that time too. Right now the show is about over. We're running out of time. So Saturday, we will make a time for everybody to accept Christ. I got up on my soapbox and really started preaching about this, because it was really homing in to me about what to talk about this. But I really appreciate everybody listening to my show. I want to say God bless every one of y'all. May God touch every one of y'all through this show. And Jacob, thanks again for being my co-host and hanging out with me, man.
Yahoo!
And we'll see you Saturday. And remember, Brian Adams is going to be on the show at 10 a.m. Saturday. So be sure to check in with us and listen to the show. I'm sure he's going to tell you some amazing stories, and he's really going to bring the Lord home to you, and you're going to learn a lot of stuff about the Lord from him. I say God bless every one of y'all, and I'll see y'all Saturday.
Amen.
Amen.
We pray for blessings, we pray for peace, comfort for family, protection while we sleep. We pray for healing, for prosperity, we pray for your mighty hand to ease our suffering. And all the while you hear each spoken need, yet love is way too much to give us lesser things. 'Cause what if your blessings come through raindrops? What if your healing comes through tears? What if the seven sleepless nights are what it takes to know you're near? What if trials of this life are your mercies in disguise? We pray for wisdom, your voice to hear, and we cry in anger when we cannot feel you near. We doubt your goodness, we doubt your love, as if every